29 title track off their latest record, We Won't Be Shaken. And I'll tell you what, that brings me to the last section of scripture that I want to read tonight as it relates to Israel and Syria and the church and what's going on in the world that we live in today. Because here's the bottom line for you and I as faith people, as people who have trusted Christ and Jesus has given us a new heart and a new life. We're born again. And we have repented of our sin and we trusted Him completely. The bottom line to all of this, that whatever happens in the Middle East, I know a lot of people are really fearful about that right now. And in the natural, rightfully so. But no matter what happens, we won't be shaken. Because our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And we know, as the old song says, it's in Christ alone. So we know that the plan and the will of God will be carried out and accomplished on planet Earth. So we can rest in the confidence and the surety of the protecting ability of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we've talked about a lot of things tonight as it relates to Israel and the church. We've alluded to it, I should say, in the limited time that we have. You say, well, you got 3 hours, but we had a lot of music to get on here tonight as well. And we never have gotten to talk about the ministry announcements that I was going to share with you. So that'll just have to wait probably for another program. We're in our final hour right now, and I want to recap basically what we have said. First of all, we have said that Israel is the apple of God's eye, and according to Genesis chapter 12, the scripture very plainly says that He will bless those who bless Israel, He will curse those who curse Israel. And somebody would say, well, wait a minute, we're living in the age of grace, so I can curse Israel and there's no such thing as a curse going to come on me. That is not true. Do not follow misinformation. Do not follow a false grace message in these last days. One of the attacks of Satan in the end times against the church is going to be a false grace message. Now, there is a real grace message. There is a true grace message. Obviously, all of this is by faith and grace and not of works, lest any man should boast. But at the same time, there is a counterfeit message that Satan has introduced that basically says no matter what you do, no matter what you believe, no matter what you, how you live your life, everything's all right. If you've just said the name of Jesus and walked down the aisle and joined the club, then everything is well with you. That is not true. That's a lie. That's a false message of grace. And what we have to understand, the scripture clearly says, I'm going to teach on this one night here on the air, but the scripture says that Jesus Christ came bringing grace and truth. So in order to have the real grace of God, you've got to have the truth. In order to have the real truth, you've got to be able to take that in grace. Okay? They work together. They are inseparable. And there is no such thing as this easy believism that you can just join the club and, man, you're okay now. It don't matter anymore what you do. Drink all you want to drink. Take all the dope. Go with all the women. All of this, and you're okay because you joined the club. That's a lie. Do not be deceived in the last days by a false message of grace. Okay? There is a real message of grace, but let me tell you, let me clue you in that grace will change your heart and change your life forever. The real grace of God, once you come in contact with that, you won't be looking for a way to go sin. You'll be looking for a way to glorify Christ in all that you do. And so that is the gospel truth, friends, and we want to cling to that in these last days. So we said that the Lord said in Genesis chapter 12, I'll bless those who bless Israel, I'll curse those who curse Israel. That still holds true for today. That promise has not been done away with. All right? Understand that. Then we talked about that in Jerusalem is where God has chosen to place His name and His habitation in Zion. So we understand the deep affinity that God has for the nation and the people of Israel. We also stated that the Jewish people have to get saved the same way that you and I do, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is their Messiah. We also said that God is looking for Christians, for believers everywhere the world over, to stand in the gap, to make up the hedge for the nation of Israel in the hour that we're living in. You know, the church is in a pretty sorry shape on intercession all the way around. I know people, I talk to people all the time who haven't prayed for their families in months and months and months. I know people who haven't prayed for the outcome of their jobs in months and months and months. I know people who have never prayed consistently for their churches. I know people who have all these excuses. They're too busy. There's not enough time. I couldn't get to it. On and on and on. Listen, I'm going to say it. Some are going to get angry. That's okay. It's your prerogative. But what you value, you will make time for. There is nobody out there any busier than we are here in this ministry. We don't have 29-hour days here in this ministry. We have the same 24 that you're dealing with. So, and we can look at a person's priorities and tell what they value. We can look at your checkbook and tell what you value. We can look at the way you spend the time you do have each day and tell what you value. Okay? You might have to give up some trips to the beach and trips to the park in order to establish that prayer altar that has been broken down by the enemy in these last days and reinstitute that thing and be obedient to the spirit and the principle of Ezekiel 22 and 30. And God is looking for you to stand in the gap and to be an intercessor in these critical times in which we're living. And that brings us to our last point of the evening as it relates to Israel. And it's found in Isaiah chapter 41, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And I'm going to read it tonight from three different translations. We're going to read it from the King James Version. We're going to read it from the New Living Translation. And then finally, probably one of my favorite translations of this particular passage is the NIV. So let's listen and see what the Lord has to say. This is written as a promise to Israel, but it also, the principle involved in this promise belongs to the church as well. We mentioned that earlier, how oftentimes in the spirit realm, when a major happening is taking place in Israel, there's also a major happening taking place in the church, because we are kin. We are knit together through the person of Jesus Christ. Whether the Jewish people have accepted him or not, that is irrelevant at this point. What is relevant is that Jesus was Jewish and he is their Messiah. And when God looks at the affairs of men, he sees he has a plan for Israel, he has a plan for the church. Those two plans will merge. The Bible talks about it over and over again. Romans 11 talks about the grafting in, etc. and so forth. The end times plan. You will see the two plans that God has, one's for Israel, one's for the church. Not as it regards salvation. All men have to get saved the same way through the blood of Christ. But the two plans will merge and culminate. And the figurehead of that culmination is the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Here's what it says, Isaiah 41, and we're going to start reading in verse 10. The Bible says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." God, get this in your mind right now. God is with Israel. All right? Also, child of God, God is with you. Let's keep reading. It says, "Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold," take a look, watching world, "all they that were incensed against thee," and the thee there is you, the church, and Israel, who it was written to, "shall be ashamed and confounded." Not only ashamed, but they're going to be confounded. "They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish." You know, I heard Lester Summerall preach from this passage one time, and he said, you know, if you've messed with Abraham, you have to suffer for it. And he said, if you mess with Moses, you have to suffer for it. And he said, if you mess with Isaiah, you have to suffer with it. And he said, if you mess with Lester Summerall, you have to suffer for it. And I want to tell you that right now. I want you to know, child of God, listen, this is for Israel. This is for the church. The principles of this promise applies to us as well. Here's what it's saying. When the devil starts messing with your life, he is going to have to suffer for it. And this is why it is so dangerous for Christians to be out here talking bad about one another. Because you might be talking about one of God's choice. You might be talking about one of God's favorites. You might be talking about one that God has put his hand upon to touch this generation. And you're out there being critical. Well, they don't walk in enough love. They don't do what I want them to do. They called me into account because I didn't return their phone calls and they made me answer for it. Well, have you ever stopped a thought, dodo head, that the discipleship process that God has instituted in the church, the leaders are supposed to keep you accountable? Huh? We talked about that earlier tonight. You have to be careful because if you mess with God's choice creation, you're going to have to suffer for it. It's just that simple. Let's read verse 12. It says, thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, as a thing of naught. Let me assure you, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, that these enemies of Israel, who have got their guns trained upon this tiny beleaguered nation, who is surrounded by her enemies in these last days, those nations will come to nothing in God's perfect timing. In the end result, Israel will be protected. Israel will be defended. Israel will be lifted up. Praise God. And that is the word of the Lord. For I, the Lord, verse 13, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. You don't need to be in fear over the events that you're seeing on your newscast in this hour. Now let's read that passage from the New Living Translation, the same passages of Scripture from Isaiah chapter 41. Again, let me mention, this was promised to Israel. And don't believe these guys in the church that say, well, the promises of Israel don't apply to us. I've explained to you tonight how and why that they do apply to the child of God. Even as we speak, even in this final hour of human history, the principles in these promises, what principles, Brother Paxton? Well, it says he's chosen Israel. Well, he's also chosen his church. Huh? He says, don't be afraid. I am with you. Jesus said the exact same words to his disciples. So all of these promises that relate to Israel outside of the land promises, outside of the areas that describe the boundaries of Israel's possession, all of these promises belong both to Israel and to the church. And even those land promises that describe Israel's possessions in the spiritual can be applied to the church as well, as God has described to us in Christ our spiritual possessions and inheritance. So don't get on board with these guys who you know, how does the scripture say it? They strain at a gnat and they swallow the camel. Don't get on board with all of that. Don't worry about all that stuff. Don't try to dot every I and cross every T. Just believe God. Just take God's word verbatim and put your faith and your trust and your confidence in it in these last days, because we're entering in to some horrendous times, folks. You know, Jeremiah predicted, and it will come to pass, because the word of God is, you know, God is not a liar, and his word will come to pass. Jeremiah predicted that one day Damascus, Syria, will be blown off the face of the earth. That day is coming. I don't know if it's now, and I don't know how it's going to happen, and I'm not going to concern myself with such things. That's in the Father's business. That's the Father's heart, that he's taking care of all that. My responsibility is to pray and to intercede for the people in that part of the world, as in any part of the world, and pray for the Holy Spirit to manifest Christ in their midst, to bring them to the cross of Calvary, and also to care for them and to take care of them and protect them in this delicate and deeply dangerous situation. So let's keep our priorities in line with God's word and not get, you know, all bogged down in, you know, what each little horn on the Antichrist head means. I don't know, but, you know, and it's fun to study that. That's cool. But, you know, my main priority should be to do what I can plainly see in the word of God that the Lord wants me to do. So many Christians today are worried about these mysterious things in the Bible, but they don't do what the word that they know. I mean, they can clearly see that they need to have a prayer life and they need to be intercessors. God is calling intercessors. We read it tonight, Ezekiel 22:30. That's plain. That's plain as the nose on your face. But yet we want to worry about the mysterious things about God. Listen, be a prayer warrior. Love the Word of God. Be a person who God will do justice through your life in extraordinary works of compassion. And those type of works are sparked by grace. We'll get into that in another program. Let's read this same second, section of Scripture now from the second translation that we're going to look at, and that's the NLT. Here's what it says. We're going to start with verse 9 in this one, Isaiah 41. It says, I have called you back from the ends of the earth. That has been and is being fulfilled even as we speak, as God is calling the Jewish people from all over the world to Aliyah, to return to Jerusalem. Glory be to God. So that's, now look at there. Read it. That's powerful. That is taking place. I have called you back from the ends of the earth, saying, you are my servant. Now how does that apply to me as a Christian? We can see plainly how it applies to Israel, but listen, I don't care how far you run. I don't care how many liquor bottles you try to hide in. I don't care how many drugs you shoot up and pump up in your veins. I don't care how many divorces you have and women and men that you go through in your life searching for that happy place that you're looking for, whatever. Doesn't matter. He's going to call you back from the ends of the earth. He's going to say, you are mine. You are my servant, and he wants to restore your life. And when you repent and renounce the sin of your heart, God will clean you up and use your life. Hallelujah. And you'll find that happy place. Glory be to God, and it's called in Christ. Then he said, I have chosen you and will not throw you away. Now, can't you see, beloved? For those of you that want to take issue that the promises to Israel don't belong to the church, can't you see how these belong to you and I in Christ? This is talking about Israel. This is God's promise to Israel in the hour we're living in. It's also his promise to you and I as Christians in Christ. He said, I've chosen you. I will not throw you away. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. See, all your angry enemies lie there, confused and humiliated. Anyone who opposes you will die and come to nothing. You will look in vain for those who tried to conquer you. Those who attack you will come to nothing. For I will hold you by your right hand, I, the Lord your God. And I say to you, don't be afraid. I am here to help you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, tonight that is God's word to Israel in the hour she is in right now. As we look at the world stage and we see these angry enemies, God is going to humiliate them. God is going to destroy them. They will die. The book of Ezekiel, 38 and 39th chapters, talks about the war of Gog and Magog. I'm sorry, you might not see it that way. I don't believe myself that that is the Battle of Armageddon. I believe it's the war of Gog and Magog. It may culminate in the Battle of Armageddon, but whatever, be that as it may, God is going to destroy the enemies of Israel on the mountains of Israel. The enemies of Israel will die. It will be so horrible that they will take up to, what was it? They take up to 7 years to destroy, bury, burn all the dead bodies and all of the weaponry. You think of such a thing. You think of a battle of that ferocity. But that is how God feels. If you look at that picture, you can get a glimpse of the heart of God for Israel. But also, as we've been talking to you, this belongs to us as the church. And you can see when every demon of hell has attacked the church in these last days and tried to bring adultery into believers' lives and tried to bring addictions back on believers and tried to bring discouragement and depression and all of these things against you as a child of God, you can see the ferocity with which God is going to do war against the enemies of Calvary. Demon spirits and Satan and all of his cohorts. And so you don't need to be afraid, because God is with you. He said, I will hold your hand and I will help you. That depression will not kill you. That depression will not destroy you. That fear that has crippled your life will be broken. It will be destroyed, because it's an enemy of God, and God is destroying his enemies in your life. If you'll trust him, and if you'll believe him, and if you'll repent of your sin and turn to him, then he is free to be able to come and work in you in that fashion. Glory be to God. Now, we got one more verse, one more version, I should say, to read that same passage of Scripture from, Isaiah chapter 41. We're going to start in verse 9. This is the NIV. Remember, I told you we're reading it from three versions. We started with the King James. We went to the NLT. This is the NIV. And perhaps one of my favorite renderings of this particular portion of Scripture, it says, I took you from the ends of the earth. It's Isaiah 41:9. It said, I took you from the ends of the earth. From its farthest corners I called you. Oh, friend, today I don't know how far you've tried to run from God, but you can't outrun the long arm of the high sheriff of heaven, the Holy Spirit. He said, I have called you. I've chosen you. He says, you are my servant. I have chosen you. I have not rejected you. He says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed. I took you from the ends of the earth. It's Isaiah 41:9. It said, I took you from the ends of the earth. From its farthest corners I called you. Oh, friend, today I don't know how far you've tried to run from God, but you can't outrun the long arm of the high sheriff of heaven, the Holy Spirit. He said, I have called you. I've chosen you. He says, you are my servant. I have chosen you. I have not rejected you. He says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing, and they will perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the word of the Lord tonight for Israel. That is the word of the Lord tonight for the church. That is the word of the Lord tonight for you in your individual life and walk with Christ. God is going to take you with his victorious right hand. The strength of that right hand of God. The right hand speaks of authority. It speaks of power. It speaks of majesty. And he's going to take you by your right hand. And he's going to lift you up and seat you together with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus in the spiritual realm. Your life will be victorious. Your heart will be brought through safely and given safe passage through all of these things that the world is throwing at us as believers. This promise is for Israel. This promise is for the church. And this promise is for each individual life under the sound of my voice right now. And if you'll come to Christ and recommit, reaffirm the commitment to God that you've already made in these last days in which we live, God will begin to rewrite the story of your life without that fear, without that depression, without that destruction of the enemy. And He will write what will be known as a beautiful history for you. And this is Plum.